The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Six days after Peter said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is an amazing story of true identity. Holly Hoyle O'Brien was born in South Korea. She never knew her mother and lived alone with her dad, who died when Holly was just 5 years old. Holly then lived in an orphanage in Busan, South Korea, until she was adopted in 1978 at the age of nine by an American family and moved to Virginia. She later recounted that as a child in Virginia, she remembered waking up one night in tears, crying out, "My daddy died and I have a sister. We have to find her." Holly vaguely remembered the day her stepmother came and took her younger half-sister away. Holly was about 4 years old at the time, and her sister was only two. Holly said that she prayed every day that she would find her sister. The orphanage in Busan had no records of Holly's sister, and decades passed. In January of 2015, Holly moved to Sarasota, Florida, and began working as a nurse's assistant at Doctors Hospital on the fourth floor, working the 7 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. shift. One day, a patient told Holly that she should meet the new physical therapy assistant, Megan Hughes, who just started working the day shift at Doctors Hospital, also on the fourth floor, and who also was from South Korea. Holly and Megan became fast friends and one day found out that both of them had spent several years of their early childhood in different orphanages in South Korea. And both of them had the word abandonment written on their orphanage records. Megan didn't really remember anything about her Korean family. When Megan was 5 years old, she was adopted out of the orphanage by an American family and grew up in Kingston, New York. Megan's Korean name was Yoon-suk Shin, and Holly's name was Pok-nam Shin. Though Shin was a common name, they decide to take a DNA test and see if they were distantly related. When the results came back in October 2015, they found out that Megan was the little sister that Holly had been praying for God to find every day of her life. In today's gospel, we come across another amazing story of true identity. In the familiar and much-loved story of the Transfiguration, Jesus takes his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John, up the high mountain, where his true glory is revealed and God confirms that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Here on the high mountain, the outward glowing appearance of Jesus matches his inner reality and identity as God's most beloved Son and provides for us a glimpse of the fullness of God's kingdom. The Transfiguration, this mountaintop experience, which was so important for Jesus' disciples then and is so important for us now, is always the appointed gospel every year on this, the last Sunday of the Epiphany. Why? Well, Ash Wednesday, which is 3 days from now, marks the beginning of Lent, which will lead us to Holy Week and the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus knows it will be difficult for us to experience his suffering and death, and the Transfiguration provided his disciples and us today with a glimpse of the hope and glory of the resurrected Christ. It is important to note that 6 days before the Transfiguration, Matthew tells us that Jesus and his disciples were in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. This was the gospel of Matthew's first prediction of Jesus' passion, and Peter's immediate response was to take Jesus aside and rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." It was then that Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Jesus then talked to his disciples about the true cost of discipleship and said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Jesus realized this commitment is not always easy, and it was in this context that the Transfiguration occurs. As one of my biblical commentaries underscored, for now the Transfiguration affirms the identity of Jesus and provides the disciples with the hope of the coming glory of Christ that will sustain them as they endure the coming events of Jesus' passion. Thus, the Transfiguration help prepare the disciples and each of us for Jesus' death by knowing that death is not the end. The Transfiguration employs two conventional motifs of encounters with God's power and presence. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. We cannot help but think of the shining face of Moses as he came down from Mount Sinai after encountering God. It is then that Matthew in today's gospel says the two figures appeared with Jesus, Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the prophet, confirming that Jesus fulfilled both the law and the prophets. It is at this point that Peter, who is so human and so like us, engages in a wonderful yet off-course stream of consciousness when he says to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Then the best thing happens. Get this. While Peter was still speaking, God interrupts him, cuts him off, and brings the focus back on Jesus. But before we focus on what God said, let's look at Peter for a moment. I love Peter. He is so spur of the moment and so real. Remember when Jesus walked on the water? Peter immediately jumped out of the boat and with his eyes on Jesus, actually walked on the water until he took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. Or remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to arrest Jesus and Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of the slave of the high priest. Or remember when Peter denied Christ 3 times before the cock crowed as Jesus said he would. Yet for all of Peter's failings and missteps, Jesus knew Peter's heart. That's why when the angels told the women the good news on Easter morning, they told them to go tell the disciples and Peter. That's why Jesus proclaimed, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus loved Peter, and Jesus loves us. Just like Peter, we often do and say the wrong things. We get off course, but Jesus knows our hearts, loves us, forgives us, and leads us forward. Now back to God. God interrupted Peter, as God often interrupts us in our lives, to show us or tell us or teach us something important. In the Transfiguration story, God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." God's words confirm Jesus' identity and indicate God's approval of the path of obedience Jesus has set himself on, a path that will lead to the cross. God's words also remind us of the exact words God spoke at Jesus' baptism, but with the added admonition to listen to him. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He is more than a prophet or lawgiver, and the disciples are instructed to give heed and to obey him. By telling the disciples to listen to him, God is emphasizing that all Jesus told them about his having to suffer and die and being raised up on the 3rd day is true. As we prepare to enter the season of Lent, we too are instructed to listen to Jesus, our hope and our salvation, and to believe his words. By listening to Jesus, we have the true grace and love and peace in our lives at all times and in all circumstances. When we are uncertain, listen to him. When we get frustrated in an increasingly complex world, listen to him. When we are afraid, listen to him. When we are worried about our loved ones, listen to him. When we are confused, listen to him. When we are anxious, listen to him. In all circumstances, listen to him. When the disciples heard the voice of God, they were overcome by fear and awe and fell to the ground. But Jesus immediately came and touched them and told them to get up and not be afraid. We take comfort in knowing that Jesus is always there for us when the path ahead is daunting and uncertain, and he reaches out to us, touches us, and tells us to get up and not be afraid. Our gospel today ends with Jesus and his 3 disciples descending the mountain, and with Jesus ordering his disciples not to tell anyone about the vision of the Transfiguration until after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Jesus knew that the disciples would not fully understand the significance of the Transfiguration until they witnessed the resurrected Christ. As New Testament scholar Stanley Saunders said, "Only after Jesus is crucified and raised can the disciples comprehend that a new world order is coming into being, where the threat of death no longer dominates human imagination, and where God's Son liberates those who follow his path to the cross." As much as disciples may have wanted to stay on the mountain with Jesus, mountaintop experiences are fleeting moments in time that have the real potential to renew and strengthen us and to equip us to handle what lies ahead. Mountaintop experiences inevitably, though, lead us back down the mountain where the work and ministry of the world awaits. Upon returning from the mountaintop, Jesus and his disciples immediately are thrust back into the world when a man falls on his knees and begs Jesus to heal his son who is possessed by demons. As we get ready to enter Lent, we realize that the work of the world continues. But because of the transfiguration, we go forward knowing fully the true and amazing identity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the author of our salvation. Amen.